Time to talk some Stanford hoops. Oregon at Maples, a place that's kind of been a house of horrors. Our guest is the radio analyst, so much more. He's a writer, an author, the book titled 100 Years of Stanford Men's Basketball. He'll once again be alongside Scott Reese for the call on KNBR 1050 AM. Our pleasure to welcome in John Platts. John, very much appreciate your time. How are you?
Steve and Alex, doing well today. Thank you.
So you played for Stanford during the Tom Davis era back in the early to mid-1980s. And, you know, obviously you faced Oregon here in town at Mack Court. So my first question might be about your view of Duck basketball. Of course, then they were the ultimate also-ran. And where they are right now, some 30-some-odd years later, under Dana Altman, how kind of an interesting story do you find the growth of Oregon basketball?
Well, I find it very interesting in the sense that, you know, I've been following this. I'm now in my 50s, so I grew up in Southern California as a Pac-8 fan. So I remember when Oregon, you know, had its moments in the 70s when they would beat the John Wooden teams and good UCLA teams of the late 70s. So I sort of see Oregon and Stanford as somewhat parallel in the sense that they've had sort of up and down the last 40 or so years, but there's no question that the Oregon trend here, certainly since the turn of the century, has been very, very strong. And Duck basketball now is among the very, very best. And Stanford, of course, had that glory era, or as I call it, about 1988, late 80s to the late 00s, under Mike Montgomery and a bit under Trent Johnson. Some blips to this decade, some good points this decade, a couple of NIT titles, a Sweet 16 appearance in 2014. So, you know, Stanford has been on the rise the last quarter century. Oregon, especially of late, I think, on the rise. So I sort of parallel, but much respect for Oregon basketball, no question.
You know, I'm curious about that. Mike Montgomery being honored during the Oregon game this weekend, obviously legendary coach in the conference and for Stanford hoops, reached a Final Four in 98 after he went 30-2, won the Pac-10, then left to be coach of the Warriors. Team hasn't really been able to reach that level since. Couple Sweet 16 runs, as you mentioned, really only one of those at an elite level, Trent Johnson's last year. What is it that has been missing since Coach Montgomery left back in 04?
Well, I mean, I think that's a multifaceted question. I think the one that is at the top of the list for me as far as reasons is you're talking about a Hall of Fame coach. That's why Mike Montgomery is being honored tomorrow. You know, I looked this up, guys, Steve and Alex. Mike Montgomery's record against Oregon at Maples Pavilion during his 18-year tenure was 18-0.
Wow.
I was astounded to see that. I mean, good Oregon teams, so that four or five of those Oregon teams were NCAA tournament teams, you know, one of them an Elite Eight team, and I did a double take, and that's just how good a coach Mike Montgomery was. So I would put that at the top of the list. I think the second thing is, and this is a conundrum that afflicts all Stanford programs, but I think most acutely men's basketball, and that is recruiting. It's a small pool of kids that can get into school. If you can get in, it's not that hard to get through school because there's a lot of support and it's not as onerous, I think, as some of the public schools here in California. But getting in is very, very difficult. The pool is small, and so quite frankly, you just can't build the talent at Stanford like you can other places typically. And Mike Montgomery was very, very successful. He scored with the Collins twins. You know, Brevin Knight came out of nowhere in the mid-90s to really resurrect a program that was coming off a 7-23 year. So, you know, I think, like anything else in life, you need to be lucky in addition to being good, and I think Mike Montgomery was that. But the dilemma of, you know, out of the top 100 kids, only five or six can get into Stanford, that just makes it tough right off the jump.
Talking with John Platts, talking Stanford hoops. We know Reed Travis missed some time hurt. He actually sat out the first Oregon game. And aside from the Cal game 3 weeks ago, since he's been back, he's really been a force. Can you overstate his value to this team and how it kind of hurt not having him?
I cannot overstate it. I mean, he is Stanford's MVP. I mean, the numbers say it. If you see his attitude on the court, and especially behind the scenes, you see it. He was named a captain by the Stanford coaching staff. Coach Jared Hass has not done that before in his coaching career. And Reed Travis is not a senior. He has two more years of eligibility after this. He's a third-year sophomore. So that sort of speaks to his leadership ability, his toughness, because that's what Coach Hass prizes. But the number is about 18 a game, about 9 rebounds a game, shooting 55% from the field. I mean, he's just there every game. And it doesn't matter whether it's a smallish team like Arizona State, where Reed has to use his quickness to score, or big teams, shot-blocking teams like a Cal or an Oregon, for example. Travis just manages to get his points. You know, he's a former high school quarterback, so he's pretty athletic at 6'8", 245, sort of football-level skills. But, you know, the quick feet and the jumping ability and the girth, I think, allows him to score just game after game.
You know, the program under Johnny Dawkins had sort of stagnated for a while, so AD Bernard Muir decides to make the change, bring in Coach Hass this year from UAB. Now, he kind of made his bones as a player for Roy Williams at Kansas, where the school actually created a statistic in his honor called floor burns because of the insane amount of times he would dive on the floor for loose balls. You got to imagine that image had a lot to do with why Muir brought him in, obviously his coaching ability aside. The record hasn't quite improved yet, but have you seen the effort level begin to mirror the coach this season?
No, I definitely have, and I attribute the record, which currently is 14-13, 6-9 in conference, is a group of kids trying to adjust to a whole new way of coaching.
Sure.
Coach Johnny Dawkins coached sort of what we call the Duke system, which on offense is four out, one in, or one big in the lane area, and the four perimeter guys, and then a lot of the triangle offense, which is the NBA offense. And Coach Hass is much more the Mike Montgomery-type offense, where you use post players. You go inside out, score inside if the big has a lane to the hoop, or kick it outside to shooters if it's not there. And the players have had to adjust to that, and it's taken a lot of time. And defensively, Coach Dawkins taught different principles, including a lot of help side techniques. And what that resulted in, unfortunately for Stanford early, is a lot of three balls made by the opposition in the November and December parts of the season, simply because the players have been taught a different way under Coach Dawkins for 8 years. Or you know, 2 or 3 years in the case of the current crop. So,
sure.
Yeah, I think there's been an adjustment. I am very, very enthused about Coach Hass. He is, I think he's a lot like Coach Altman, to be honest with you. He's just very, highly competitive. You know, Coach Hass's brother is a Top Gun pilot in Arizona for the military. I mean, it's a family that's tough, that gets after it. But Coach Hass is excited to be at Stanford. I think because of the recruiting challenges, not every coach is excited to be there. Or at least would be in men's basketball, and Coach Hass is delighted to be there. That's a big plus. So I think he's going to be successful. But year one, like it is with a lot of coaches inheriting new players, there's an adjustment period.
Talking Stanford hoops with John Platts. Another guy, limited role as a freshman, more substantial the past 2 years, Dorian Pickens, who was considered a pretty big recruiting score out of Arizona for then-coach Dawkins. Solid last night, really good in the Cal win, big guard at 6'5". Would I be accurate in saying he's really talented, but he's just had some pockets of inconsistency?
You know, I think the coaching staff would admit that. Dorian Pickens is Stanford's second leading scorer, but there's been a number of games where either the point totals have been low or the shooting percentages has been low. And he's probably object lesson number one in terms of the adjustment from Coach Dawkins to Coach Hass. I think the triangle for Dorian, sort of like it was with Chase and Randall, you know, use the high ball screen, create something. You know, rather than a more structured offense where it's been a little bit tougher for Dorian. So I think the encouraging thing for Stanford fans is, as you say, in recent games, he's been more consistent, as has Marcus Allen, for example. So I think, you know, cautious optimism around Stanford circles is the players are starting to get it, and that there's going to be more upside as far as performance, maybe some surprising wins in the remaining couple of weeks we have here.
You know, in a tough season, coming off losses to both the Arizona schools, Cardinal get a big-time win on Friday over Cal last week. Look, people don't want to hear anything about moral victories in high-level sports of any kind, but how much did that win over the Golden Bears mean for a team coached by a guy who actually played for them for a season?
You don't underestimate it. I think you nailed it. Coach Hass, you know, played the 1 year at Cal. You know, he got Cal, or helped get Cal, to the Sweet 16 that year, in an era when Cal, you know, typically didn't come close to getting the Sweet 16. So the game had personal meaning for Coach Hass. It's a Bay Area rivalry game. Stanford, as you said, came off the tough, you know, Arizona road trip games. So there's all sorts of reasons why I wouldn't say the season hung in the balance, but there was a pretty dire need for something good to happen. And it came together against Cal, against an upper division team in the league, and that's what got Stanford the W last Friday night.
Final thought for Stanford radio ace John Platts, as a former player, now an analyst. You know, stats don't always tell the story. Specific matchups are really important. Recently, the Cardinal have beaten some good teams. We mentioned Cal, Utah. Hey, they looked Arizona dead in the eye at Tucson. In order to knock off this Duck team, matchup-wise, what do you like that would give them a favorable chance here?
Oh boy, guys! I look at it. I mean, Oregon is. I'm in the Pac-12 media pool group of those that vote on the preseason. You know, how they're going to finish type thing, and I picked Oregon number one because I look at a team. You know, even now, you got five guys averaging in double digits. It was so good with the three ball. Probably two guys that should be on the all-defensive team, and Bell and Boucher, and Bell maybe should be the conference defensive player of the year. You know, it's a tough matchup. I think of the biggies in the conference, at the top of the conference, Arizona, UCLA, and Oregon. This is the worst matchup I think for Stanford, on paper. And so, what does Stanford have to do? Well, I mean, obviously they have to have home mojo. You know, it's senior day for Stanford. I think that will count for something tomorrow. I do think the guards are going to have to contribute scoring, certainly more than they did in the game in Eugene. To counteract maybe some of the stuff that happens up front, and I include Dylan Brooks sort of as an up front type of person. Playing guard scoring, you mentioned Dorian Pickens. Marcus Allen has averaged 14 points a game his last six games. He needs to keep that up. Allen, I think, will probably draw the defensive assignment on Dylan Brooks, and obviously the way Dylan's been playing, that's going to be very, very important. You know, I don't think Stanford can negate a lot of what Bell and Boucher do inside, so they're going to do their thing. So I'd say, you know, guard productivity, and then watch Marcus Allen's defense on Dylan Brooks.
He is John Platts. He's an author, 100 Years of Stanford Men's Basketball. As always, he'll be alongside Scott Reese for the call on KNBR 1050 AM. John, we really appreciate your time. It was great to get an opportunity to speak with you, and thanks for joining us.
Thanks, John.
Guys, thanks for having me on.
All right, have a good one.